be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Praise you, O Lord.
Jesus went to the district of Tyre. He entered a house and wanted no one to know about it, but he could not escape notice. Soon a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him. She came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. Jesus said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." She replied and said to him, "Lord, even the dogs under the table eat the children's scraps." Then Jesus said to her, "For saying this, you may go. The demon has gone out of your daughter." When the woman went home, she found her daughter lying in bed and the demon gone. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
St. Paul, in the second letter to St. Timothy, says that our life is always a journey in one of two directions, either persevering fidelity or denial. Fulgé Sheen used to say there are no plateaus in the spiritual life. Either we're going uphill or we're sliding downhill. And today in the readings, we see, on the one hand, growth in perseverance and faith. And on the other hand, we see somebody going from great faith to denial. St. Mark just gives us a little bit of the scene that St. Matthew describes in far greater detail, and it's one of the most touching scenes in all of sacred scripture. A mom who loves her little girl, who's a pagan, but has heard incredible things about this carpenter from Nazareth, goes on up and asks, "Please cure my daughter." Jesus, who loved this woman, who had come to save this woman and save her daughter, wanted to give her a chance to grow by faith. And sometimes his ways are a little hard, but as a divine physician, he knows exactly the medicine we need. So his first reaction was to ignore this woman. He didn't say a word to her. So she turned to the apostles, said, "Can you help me?" And she was bugging them importunely so much that they came up to Jesus and said, "Get rid of her." So Jesus turned to her and said, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She still didn't give up. She came and fell at Jesus' feet. And she said that word that's one of the most moving words in any language. "Help me, Lord." At which point Jesus said, "It's not right to take the food of the children and throw it to the dogs." Strike three. It's kind of like the Red Sox calling Yankees fans evil empire. It was a little bit of a play on words in the ancient world, but nevertheless, a third no. At which point this woman said, "But even the littlest dogs, think chihuahuas, eat the scraps that fall from their master's table." And at this perseverance, she grew step by step. She never gave up because she loved her daughter and she had faith in the Lord. The Lord just said, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you ask." That's precisely what happens. Sometimes we turn to the Lord and we ask him for things, good things, things that we know he cares about. And the answer we get is not the one we expect. If we love somebody, we expect him to love him even more and to act immediately just like we would if we were divine. But sometimes the Lord wants to test us in faith over the course of time, and we have to trust him enough, and we have to persevere like this woman, even when we initially don't get the right answer. On Saturday, for those of you who come to daily Mass, we had an 18-year-old boy who was asked by God, "Ask me for anything you want." And young Solomon, who had just assumed the kingship, think about going to the local high school, even choosing the valedictorian, would you have him president of the United States? Solomon at 18 was going to be governing in place of his father David. So he asked for an understanding heart to govern his people. God was so pleased that he wanted to govern his people according to God's kingdom. And so God gave him that and blessed him so many other ways. Yesterday we would have had the Queen of Sheba traveling 2,300 miles and gave him the greatest quantity of spices in the ancient history, gave him lots of precious gems, and gave him 120 gold talents. When I was in Detroit yesterday for the seminarians at Sacred Heart, I told him exactly what 120 talents is in today's money. It's $226 million. That's how much she valued wisdom. And Solomon had it. And then what happens? Vanity and lust. He takes his eyes off of the Lord. In the verse immediately before what we just heard, he had 700 princely wives intermarriage to seal various pacts between countries, and 300 concubines, 300 other wives of a lower social class. 999 wives wasn't enough. And he lost his way. The one who had built the temple for God was now building pagan shrines for his wife for false worship. Pope Francis 6 years ago said what the problem with Solomon was unlike his father David, who when he sinned and Nathan went to him and called him on it, immediately repented and made up for it. Solomon grew hardened. Pope Francis is always talking about the difference between being a sinner and being corrupt. Sinners, when they fall, recognize they're fallen and ask for God's mercy. The corrupt step on the gas pedal and they become, with one of his famous phrases, varnished putrefaction. They might look good, but they're dead on the inside. And it's always a possibility for us when we don't repent, when we fall. The wisest man in history up until that point, even though he knew the truth, such that he could govern the Lord's people, couldn't govern himself and fell. There are two possibilities. We're going in one of two directions, either persevering faith or rejection, denial. We're either going uphill on the way of the cross, or we're sliding down the broad highway that leads to perdition. And so we can't just go on past decisions. It's always present. There's always a now. Jesus comes to us, calls us to follow him, and we get up and we journey with him. Today, the church celebrates for the first time an American in the Eternal Hall of Fame. He was beatified just 2 months ago, December 7th, in Guatemala. He was born in Wisconsin. He was a football player at 6'2", 220. A football coach. When you look at the adjectives with which the fellow LaSallian brothers described him, sounds a lot like Cardinal Dolan. Garrulous, life of the party, huge laugh. And a little bit like Cardinal Dolan, his one defect was he was always late for things. And so the cardinal who was beatifying said his tardiness was a perfect preparation for ministry in Latin America. But he went down to teach. He taught Nicaragua for many years, a place called Puerto Cabezas. And while he was there, the Sandinistas took over. For the Somoza government, he had not only built an incredible Catholic school, but he had done it so well that they asked him to build 10 public schools. But as soon as the Sandinistas came on out, they recognized that educators were dangerous, because any ideologue, any tyrant, doesn't want the truth to get out. So they put a contract out on him, and the LaSallians got him out, and they sent him to Minnesota for 2 years. But his heart just wanted to return, because he knew the people thought that his departure was an act of cowardice, and of course it wasn't. But he went back, and they weren't going to send him to Nicaragua, they sent him to Guatemala, where he ran a school for indigenous Mayans, teaching agricultural techniques that he knew very well. But the problem with the locals there is they were constantly forcibly conscripting the boys in a school, even though they had no right to do it. And the LaSallians would always go and get them out. So they said that the director of the Mayan school was in trouble. His sister asked him, "Are you afraid?" He laughed, and he said, "Of course I'm afraid. I've never prayed so much before I go to bed each night." But he said, one of two things will happen to me. Either I'll be captured, tortured, and then killed, or I'll just be shot right off the bat. But one way or the other, I'm going to die. But I don't think about that all that much because I've got so much work to do. 38 years ago today at 4:15 in the afternoon, he who was called Brother Fix-It, because in addition to being principal, he was also the plumber and the general repairman, was up on a ladder fixing an external light when a car with his G2 hit squad pulled on up with masks and put 7 bullets into him. So all the kids watched their teacher and their principal fall from the ladder on which he was in triumph. He's now buried right next to his family's farm in Wisconsin. A real model for us of persevering faith, even in the midst of things that might make us afraid. The way he grew strong and the way he fortified others was each day he received God inside, and he recognized after the crucifixion there was the resurrection. This same food and this same event that turned apostates into true apostles, chickens into shepherds 2,000 years ago, likewise made him strong. And he's praying from heaven that Jesus will be able to do the same thing in us. Today we're not going to receive crumbs from a table. We're going to receive God himself, who from the inside wants to change us so that one day he'll be able to say what he said there in Tyre, O woman, O man, O son or daughter, great is your faith. Praise be Jesus Christ.